Love, praise, and worship is one of my favorites. Hallelujah. Thank the praise and worship team tonight. Yes. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. Thank you all.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Well, here we are on the third Wednesday night of the prayer series. Hallelujah. If my people, talking about the people of God, will humble themselves and pray. And we had been looking at the past couple of weeks, the prayer of praise and worship, and the vital role that the prayer of praise and worship plays in our lives, not only in our lives individually, but as a church corporately. We're looking at the corporate level when it comes to praise and worship. And when the Bible says, as a church, we what? Assemble ourselves together on purpose, that we have an appointment. Oh, glory. Come on now. When we know we got an appointment, then we make sure we don't want to miss that appointment, right? We make time for it. And when we have that appointment, we make sure we bring our best, right? Giving him our best, our highest praise. The high praises of God in our mouths. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so that creating that divine habitation where the manifested presence of God begins to unfold and unveil. And God begins to reveal himself to our five senses. When the manifested presence and the tangible presence of the Lord, it's bringing the unseen into the seen realm and bringing the unheard into the heard realm and bringing the unknown into the known realm, where you are fully aware of him through your five senses. You know that he is here. You don't question it. You're not doubting it. You know. Hallelujah. And it's in that presence, when we get in it corporately as a body, that things are happening in your own heart and in your life that you may not be aware of today, but a month from now, a week from now, you might become fully aware of something that was changed, something that was imparted, something that was removed that didn't need to be there. It's very important as a body, as a church, when we assemble together, that we are aware of this, sensitive to this, and we give ourselves fully to him. It's getting over yourself, past yourself, but realizing you were bought with a price. You are not your own. You belong to him. You're part of the highest, the best kingdom on this earth there could ever be. Yeah. And think about this. You were born for such a time as this. He handpicked you. Selected you, handpicked you, chose you for this day, this hour, to be alive right here, right now. And you know, whenever God handpicks, chooses, that means that all the equipment we need to live in this hour has been also provided. We are not without what we need in this hour to do what he wants us to do. Look, we're in the age and the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. This is the age of the miraculous. God wants to show himself to this world who is messed up, doesn't believe that there is a God. There is a God. But he needs what? A body. You and me, willing, yielded vessels that are available for him anytime, any place, anywhere. He's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. Those that are expecting, looking for, wanting the miraculous for such a time as this, the supernatural. It is now, church. There is a world out there that needs what you got. They need what you got. And you have Jesus, the living Word on the inside. You have the greater one, the Christ, the hope of glory in you, who wants to express His will, His way, His plans through you to a lost and dying world that's headed in the wrong direction, going the wrong way, who desperately needs an encounter with God, an encounter with Jesus Christ. Guess what? You might be that encounter they get to experience when you take Jesus across their paths, when you deliver Jesus to them. The age of the miraculous. Availability. Boldness, compassion. Are we compassionate, church, about what moves God's heart? What moves Him should move us. To know His heartbeat. Those that are willing to give their time, give up their sleep when He needs you. Available, willing, yield it. He wants to manifest Himself. No doubt about it. What are we expecting? What are we looking for? What are we wanting? We want Him to have His way, so that the person beside you, behind you, in front of you, down few rows back, few rows in front of you, will be touched for eternity. Have an encounter, and it will make an impact for eternity on their lives, that they'll never want to go back to the life they came out of. I don't know about you. It changed my life forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Tonight, oh glory, I'm going to hit on just a little bit on, there are at least 9 different kinds of prayer. But tonight I want to begin on united corporate prayer and the difference that it makes as a church. United corporate prayer is when the body assembles together on purpose to pray. It's a body of believers praying together out loud about the same thing at the same time in the same place. It could be as many as 2 to a whole company of believers. This united corporate prayer, the way we do it here, is it has a leader. And you're tuned in to the leader and what they're praying about, because that leader should be tuned in to the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit. So as that leader is being led by the Holy Spirit and you're listening as the body that's assembled, And you're doing your part. You're listening. You got one ear open to the leader so that we're all, as it says, as a united corporate prayer, we're all releasing our faith on the same thing at the same time. All of us. And so we're listening to the leader. We don't pray louder than the leader to those around us so that everybody can hear the leader so that we all stay in the same direction, going the same place at the same time. Right? Okay? This prayer, united corporate prayer, is not a prayer where you're praying to yourself or alone by yourself. Or for yourself. Let's go over that again. This prayer is not about praying to yourself or alone by yourself or for yourself. No, united corporate prayer is the church assembling together, and we're praying about the same thing that the Holy Spirit would direct us to pray about at the same time. So you, as the congregation, are assisting and helping the leader, whether you are helping the leader in English or you're helping and assisting the leader in other tongues. There's two ways to assist and help the leader when you're hearing the direction and the flow that the Spirit of God wants to go in prayer. So whether you're helping them in English, not praying louder than the leader, but so everybody can hear the leader, or you're helping them in praying in other tongues. Okay? This prayer, united corporate prayer, is an all participation prayer of everyone. Say everyone. Everyone lifting their voices out loud before the Lord in one accord. Unity is the key to this prayer. Unity. One heart, one mind, one accord. We're coming together about the same thing when we're going to pray. It's not a little group over here praying about their thing. Another little group over here having a Bible study with the Bibles open. No, we're all in here together. We're tuned into the Holy Spirit. We're listening to the leader, and we're following and assisting the leader, going in the same direction, releasing our faith and expecting something to happen, change as we pray. The more supplies there are in united corporate prayer, the more accomplishments are being made. I'm going to say that again. The more supplies there are in prayer, united corporate prayer, the more accomplishments are being made. Well, how do you know that, Pastor Debbie? Well, Deuteronomy 32, verse 30 says, one shall chase 1,000, two shall put 10,000 to flight. How much more are we than two right here, right now? So you can imagine the impact in the spirit realm that's taking place and happening because of the power that's being made available. Because remember James 5, verse 16, B part, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man or woman makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. So when all of us assemble together and we're releasing our faith and it's heartfelt, it's earnest, we're sincere about it, our heart is in it, what we're praying about, tremendous power is made available. Then that power is directed on a certain thing at the same time. Brother Hagin made this statement. He said, if people really knew and understood the power that is made available in united corporate prayer, he said more people would be coming out to pray. See, closet prayer was for individual prayer, but the house of God was for corporate united prayer. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Well, there's a reason that he said that, because everything else, all the other ministries, everything else, people, everything flows out of the heart of prayer from the church, continuing to pray. No ministry will be effective unless the prayer continues to prevail here. Hallelujah. Yeah. So it's an all participation prayer, and it's out loud. So nobody's sitting here with the hands folded and the head down and no lips moving. Love, Pastor Debbie, I don't know what to pray. Pray in other tongues. You cannot mess it up or mix it up with you. And if it's a certain thing that you hear the leader is leading us into prayer about, then you could pray in English right there in your seat. Yeah, praise God. So I want us to look tonight at an example of united prayer. There's several of them, but we'll get to one here. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 4, let's turn there together. I love the book of Acts. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible because it is a book of action. Holy Ghost action. I love the Holy Ghost action book. In Acts chapter 4, we see where the church prays because the church comes under much persecution. John and Peter at the gate, beautiful. They see a crippled man there, and they step out. Peter steps out, and he says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have." Right there, glory to God, he knew what he had. He said, "Silver and gold I don't have." He said, "But what I do have," he says, "I'm going to give to you. Rise up and walk right now." And he said that crippled man rose up immediately and walked. Peter knew what he had. And this day and hour, you and I, we need to know what we have. Hallelujah, we have authority. We've been given a name that's above all names. Hallelujah. And so this miracle takes place, and persecution begins to rise up. And they get threatened, and the disciples that are performing these miracle signs and wonders and all, they're told. You can see in chapter 4, it says in verse 17, it says, but in Acts chapter 4, verse 17, it says they're told not to speak the name of Jesus anymore, nor teach about that name. It says right here in verse 17, but in order that it may not spread any further among the people and the nation, let us warn and forbid them in a stern threat to speak no more, anymore to anyone in this name or about this person. Now you think about that. Woo! But Peter and John, verse 18, it says, so they summoned them and imperatively instructed them not to converse in any way or teach at all about the name of Jesus. Woo, glory to God. Told them not to, but Peter and John said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you and obey you rather than God, you must decide or judge. But we ourselves cannot help telling what we have seen and heard. Woo! So it was such an outbreak, and it was spreading rapidly and quickly. This revival, this what was taking place, 3,000 was getting saved. Peter had just preached a sermon, and 3,000 got saved. And so here comes the persecution to try to what? Shut them down, shut them up, get them to go in their houses and not say or do anything. But because of this one miracle, it says that there, verse 21, it says, for everybody was praising and glorifying God for what had occurred. For on this man, a sign, a miracle of healing was performed, and he was more than 40 years old. So when the church, it says, verse 23, and they were permitted to go, and after they were permitted to go, the apostles returned to their own company. So they had a company, a church, hallelujah, a company of believers. Told them that the chief priests and elders had said to them, verse 24, and when they heard it, they lifted their voices together with one united mind to God and said, oh boy, here we go. They lifted their voices. Here's an example of united corporate prayer. When they heard about all this persecution and everything, and they were let go, and they went back to their own company, they didn't say, oh my gosh, they told us not to speak about that name, not to mention that name, not to teach on that name. We can't do this any longer. We need to go home, shut the door, pull down the windows. No, they didn't do that. No, they went to church and they assembled together as a church, hallelujah, and they said, this must not be so we're going to lift our voices together. So they lifted their voices together with one united mind to God. So it was out loud, it wasn't quiet praying, it was loud praying. They were serious about it, and they were not about to let persecution shut them down. Come on now. Come on now. It's time to live out loud for God unashamedly, not to be ashamed of who we serve, who we love, who saved us, who delivered us. Come on. From a devil's hell. So they get praying here, and the first thing they do, they begin to magnify God and talk about how big, how good, how great God is. You go down to verse 28, it says, to carry out all that your hand and your will and your purpose had predestined, predetermined should occur. Verse 29, and now, Lord, observe their threats. Grant to your bondservants full freedom to declare your message fearlessly. What in the world are they doing after they've been told to be quiet, not to speak, not to share, not to say any more, preach any more, teach any more about this name? They said, boldness, boldness. We want more boldness, Lord. Let us declare it even more fearlessly. Hallelujah. Are y'all getting this? For such a time as this, hallelujah, it's time to be bold for Christ. Be bold for what you believe in, hallelujah. It says, grant unto your servants everywhere to speak your word fearlessly. Verse 30, while you stretch out your hands to heal, to cure, to perform miracles, signs, wonders, through the authority and by the power of the name of your holy child and servant Jesus. I mean, they're getting serious about it. But remember, they're all in one accord about it. They're together, one heart, one mind. They're lifting their voices out loud about this. They're serious. Their heart is in it. They're sincere. Oh, my. And they're so sincere that verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were assembled was shaken. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah, says the place in which they were assembled was shaken and they were all filled. Now look, they'd been initially filled when they got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues. But we see here they're being refilled continually. Not just a one-time fill, but a continual refillings. And when they assembled together, they prayed, they got serious about it. They had a refreshing refilling. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with freedom, boldness, and courage. That's what I'm talking about right there. They did not back down, back up, shut up for nobody. They knew who they stood for and who stood for them, who was behind them, for them, and in them, who they were living for. Hallelujah. And so such power, what I want us to see here on the first thing when it comes to the church and united corporate prayer, when we're together and praying on both the same thing, releasing our faith out loud together, Tremendous power is being made available. So much so that miracles. The early church prayed for miracles. Come on now. If they prayed for the miraculous, how much more today? Today? Come on now. How much? When are we going to get hungry for the right things? When are we going to start desiring the right things, wanting the right things? You know, this helps usher in Jesus' return. Church, when certain things are happening and taking place, this helps usher in the return of Christ back to the earth. Hallelujah. The church plays a big part of that in helping to bring usher in Jesus coming back. Because we're about the Father's business. We're occupying till He comes. We're doing what He's called us to do. We're giving ourselves wholly to Him for His plan, His purpose. So He can express His will through us, have His way through us. People can get saved through you. You can lead people to the Lord. You can use your hands, lay them on the sick and see the sick recover. These hands were given to you as instruments of righteousness to bless the Lord with, to pray for the sick with, to glorify God with. Come on now, church. Your feet were given to go in the places where God would have you to go, to make a difference, to be a voice, to be a force, to shake the gates of hell right here and now on the earth, because it brings a threat to the devil when the church is alive and well, when the church is triumphant, when the church is acting like the church, looking like Jesus Christ, being expressed all over the earth. Hallelujah. When are we going to get serious about this? This is not a game. The game is over. We are in the 2-minute warning. Everybody's in the game. Everybody has a part to play. No more sideliners that are spectators that are looking. It's not time for, the time is over to be a spectator. You need to be a participator. Get in on what God is doing, knowing what He wants to do and then doing it. Doing it boldly, unashamedly. So many places, so many people. It don't matter where you go, where you turn, where you look. There's always somebody that can take a prayer. Somebody that might need your hands laid on them to rebuke sickness and disease. Somebody that might be led to the Lord. I didn't care. I'm telling you, when I worked in the shipyard those 20 years of my life, my bosses, every one of them knew exactly where I stood for Christ. They didn't have to guess. They knew. And I would share Christ with them, because the higher I got promoted in those offices with those general foremen, vice presidents, the worse it got as far as in the world and the world's ways. But I continued to stand my ground and make known Jesus Christ. Amen. And I can remember from phone calls, leading them to the Lord on the phone, getting them filled with the Holy Ghost over the phone, talking to supervisors and telling them, if you continue to go in that direction, you will die. It will kill you. It will destroy your life. I mean, and to the place where the last boss that I had, he said, I know God's hands on your life. He said, I want you to fulfill what God wants you to do. He says, you've impacted my life. He says, and you've impacted a whole lot of others. He said, but I just want you to know that. And he had wrote this nice little card about before I left and everything, and how much it made a difference. That's what it's all about, church, is making a difference wherever you go. People don't have to question or guess, is she a Christian? Is he a Christian? Are they a Christian? Are they? Come on now. No. They know who you are. They know it. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm going to end with this. Dr. Gary Wood, he had ministered at this church before he died and went back to heaven a second time. But he was in a car accident, and he died in this car accident, and he went to heaven. And Jesus met him in heaven, and Jesus told him that he must go back to the earth because his plan wasn't finished for him yet. He said, but when you go, I have a message for you to tell the people. He said, when you go back to the earth, you tell the people right before I come back, there will be a spirit of prayer on the church, a spirit of restoration, and an outburst of miracles. You think about that. Jesus said in John 14:12, he said, those that believe on me will do the works that I do, and even greater works than these will they do. It's time for it, church. We're in the dispensation and the age of the Holy Ghost, of the miraculous. God wants to show up and show off so that people are drawn to him. If he can get their attention, look, miracles gets people's attention, so that he can get them in a church so they can be discipled and grow up in the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. So, Lord, Father, we thank you tonight for everything that you did, for helping the people catch the spirit of prayer, understand it more when it comes to united corporate prayer. And we're just really starting. We're just getting into it good. It's just, you know exactly where each one is. So, Father, I ask tonight, it is my prayer that you would grant each one boldness to speak your word while you stretch out your hands to heal, and that signs, wonders, and miracles will be wrought and done through the mighty name of Jesus. Let each one, let their speech be gracious, seasoned with salt, so they know how they ought to answer each one that asks of them a question. May their tongue be the pen as of a ready writer. You've given them the tongue of the learned. May they be willing and obedient in this day and time, the day of your power. We're in the day of your power, Father. May your people be willing and obedient, available, compassionate for what you're compassionate about, knowing the time is short. You're coming back. But there's a lost world that needs you more than ever. Send us across the paths of those that are closest to eternity, Lord God. You know, Father, send us across those paths as skilled laborers to these ones. You know who they'll listen to and who they will follow and honor. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Use each one in here.